Photosynthesis is so incredibly important to, I mean, for those of us that breathe oxygen, it's kind of important, right? So
Unneeded.
I try to emphasize the importance of photosynthesis, and I make it interesting, and start off with explaining, why it's so incredibly important, and the flow of energy through the biosphere, and how much energy is lost every time, you make a step up the trophic ladder and things like that. And that's kind of the approach, we start with in general botany. And then in physiology, we dive headfirst, with the capture of light and the transfer of light through the different, the transfer of light through the and the energy associated with those incoming photons, through the light harvesting complex, then take it from there. I mean, you've done this. We start off with light and the capture of light, and we end with the production of carbohydrates, and literally cover every single thing in between, or at least I try to. Well, these protons that have accumulated in the lumen of the thylakoids, then, all right, for anybody who's had basic biology, a process called osmosis. Well, chemiosmosis, these protons move from areas of high concentration in the lumen to areas of low concentration outside of the thylakoids, the stroma. And in the process, they move through the last complex called ATPase. And ATPase is, oh, it's very cool. It's got it spins like a top. The subunits that sit in the thylakoid membranes spin and move protons through them, and as it spins, it provides mechanical energy to phosphorylate ADP over into ATP. Now, everybody who's watching your podcast should know ATP is chemical energy. So the whole function of the first set of reactions in photosynthesis, we call these the light-dependent reactions because they depend on light. All right. The whole function of the light-dependent reactions is to generate ATP and NADPH. Oh, and it just so happens that produces oxygen as well,
A bit.
which is kind of important for, those of us who breathe it, right?
Right.
So this ATP and this NADPH is chemical energy. We've converted solar energy, energy from the sun, and used it to generate chemical energy, something that the plant can use. So do you want me to go on and talk about the light independent reactions or?
Definitely.
Okay.
Can do that.
So the production of ATP and NADPH occur on the stromal side. All right. And this chemical energy, ATP and NADPH, is then used, all right, for the next set of reactions, which we call the light independent reactions, of which the Calvin cycle, I'm sure some of you remember that from high school, is a big part. But the long and short of it is, and let's just keep it simple here and talk about C3 photosynthesis, is you are taking carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. All right. And what is the current CO2 concentration? Well, I looked the other day. Looks like it's about 415 parts per million.
Oh,
All
wow.
right.
That's definitely.
And we're taking carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. All right. And we are attaching it to a five carbon compound called RUBP. RUBP stands for ribulose 1,5 bisphosphate.
Yes.
So you take a five carbon RUBP and a one carbon CO2 and put them together. So, KK, do you remember what the name of the enzyme is that does that?
Nabisco.
Four years. Poor KK. Caitlin had me for different classes throughout her matriculation at MSU. Rubisco. All right. So, Rubisco is an incredibly important enzyme. Rubisco that's an acronym, actually. The acronym stands for ribulose 1,5 bisphosphate carboxylase slash oxygenase. What it does is it takes that carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and attaches it to the five carbon RUBP. All right. And it immediately generates a six carbon compound, a ketoarabinitol molecule. It's got a big long name I won't bore you with. But that molecule is incredibly unstable, and it breaks down into two, three carbon molecules, hence the name C3 photosynthesis. And those three carbon molecules, right, so 5 plus 1 is equal to 2 times 3, all right? Mm-hmm. And those three carbon molecules then go through a series of reductions. And so we got fixation, we've got reduction, and it's reduced using ATP and NADPH and to create a compound called phosphoglycerate. Then phosphoglycerate gets further reduced to make G3P glyceraldehyde 3-phosphate. And this is a triose phosphate that can be then be used to create sugars, all right, or carbohydrates. Now, it's a cycle. All right, the Calvin cycle is circular. So this cycle, all right, needs to regenerate itself. We need to regenerate that 5-carbon RUBP. So basically what happens is for every 3 turns of the Calvin cycle, so every time you bring in a CO2, all right, you are gonna generate, if you do this 3 times, you're going to generate 6 G3Ps, glyceraldehyde 3-phosphates, and each one of those has 3 carbons, all right? Of those 6, 1 drops out, leaving 5 that's going to stay in the cycle. Mm-hmm. And through a process affectionately known as the sugar shuffle, all right? And KK's smiling because she knows if I was lecturing right now, I'd do a little dance, the sugar shuffle. You regenerate those 5 triose phosphates, regenerate 3 RUBPs. So the cycle starts anew. So basically, you need to run this cycle 6 times to generate 1 glucose molecule or 1 hexose sugar.
Wow.
Right?
That's so inefficient.
So you're going to bring in, and that makes sense, right? So if you want to net a dime, then I have to hand you 10 pennies. All right. And it's the same idea with making a sugar. All right. So if we're talking about like glucose, all right, glucose has 6 carbons. Well, if you want to make a 6-carbon sugar, you need to bring in 6 molecules of carbon dioxide. The cycle spins. All right. And 2 of those G3Ps then fall out to make carbohydrate. So that in a nutshell. All right, what do you do with that sugar? Well, there's a lot of things you can do. All right, you can use it to drive metabolism. You can get, you know, shuffled over into aerobic respiration that we all know and love, right? I'm being very sarcastic with that. All right, I like photosynthesis respiration, but it can be used for storage. You know, you can store it, you can make it into fructose, you know, attach that to a glucose and make sucrose and move it to somewhere else inside of the plant. Or you can store it in the form of starch, which is a long chain polysaccharide that's just made up of repeating glucose monomers, which can be cut, you know, and saved for later. So there's all kinds of different things you can do with those triose phosphates that fall out. And the big thing about it is, it all starts with Rubisco, our good friend Rubisco.
Oh yeah, Rubisco.
Bad, beautiful Rubisco. And you've heard me say this before, right? Rubisco is a very large enzyme. And it's a very beautiful enzyme. If you ever get the chance, look at it on, get a rotating image of Rubisco and look at, I think it's got like 16 different subunits. But the problem is Rubisco is very slow, all right? It's not that great at its job. It, I think if memory serves me correctly, I think you can process about 3 molecules of carbon dioxide per second, which is fairly slow for an enzyme. Hmm. And the other issue with Rubisco is it doesn't do a very good job. If you're in my class, you hear me say it's a dumb enzyme. Well, it's a dumb enzyme. But it also acts on oxygen. All right. So what is the acronym? Ribulose 1,5 bisphosphate carboxylase /oxygenase. Mm-hmm. Now we want Rubisco to act like a carboxylase to bring in carbon dioxide. And we know enzymes are named after what they do. Mm-hmm. So ribulose 1,5 bisphosphate carboxylates ribulose 1,5 bisphosphate, RUBP. That's what we want, or that's what a plant wants. All right. And I'm sure you do this too, KK. You tend to anthropomorphize plants. You make them seem like
Yeah.
they want things, right?
Yeah,
That's something we all do. We know plants, of course, don't want things and so on. But anyway, the problem is when Rubisco acts like an oxygenase. All right. And there's a lot more oxygen in the atmosphere than there is carbon dioxide. And when Rubisco acts as an oxygenase, then it creates problems for C3 plants because instead of attaching a carbon, it attaches an oxygen to RUBP. And five carbons in RUBP and zero carbons in oxygen means, all right, we've got a problem. And instead of creating two 3-carbon molecules, it creates one 3-carbon molecule and one 2-carbon molecule. And it's that 2-carbon molecule that's a problem. All right. That 2-carbon molecule has to be reclaimed. And that's a process we call photorespiration. And it requires more energy from the plant. It's a wasteful process.
Thank you for listening and watching to this week's bonus episode. If you want to listen to a full episode of Dr. Ruland and my conversations, listen to number 8 and 51. All right, have a great week, my scientists, and go learn something new today. Peaches!
Tired of feeling drained and lethargic? Wish you could boost your energy levels naturally and stay focused throughout the day with no crash? I've been struggling with this problem too. Thank you to Sovereignty's Purpose for the ultimate energy of the day. Imagine a world where you wake up feeling refreshed, alert, and ready to conquer any challenge that comes your way. With Sovereignty, you live your life with purpose. Whether you're tackling a project, powering through a workout, or simply need a pick-me-up during the day, Purpose is carefully crafted with a powerful combination of amazing ingredients like green coffee bean extract, cordyceps, ashwagandha, bacopa, beet juice, hemp blend, green tea extract, cherry, blueberry, broccoli, kale, and turmeric extract. All of this is only 25 calories and 115 milligrams of caffeine with no jitters and no crashes. Harness this adaptogenic blend of benefits in your next smoothie, drink, cocktail, or dessert. Whether you're an entrepreneur, farmer, business professional, or student, Purpose has got your back. No more sluggish afternoons and hello productivity that lasts. Grab your blend with 10% off using the code KK10 on sovereignty.co. That's SOVEREIGNTY.CO and use KK20 for 20% off at checkout.